This is Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650, a presentation of White Spot. Now, here's your host, Brooke Ward.
The crowd is just on its feet here. He's a Cinderella boy.
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to another another edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week. This is Sportsnet 650, flagship station across the mighty Sportsnet radio network based out of beautiful Vancouver. Glad you're here tonight. Phil Wilms later in the program. Nathan Cantor later in the program. Going to hear from the head coach, Patrick Burgess, in a couple of minutes. And Legends Night was Saturday night for your Vancouver Giants. The 4-3 overtime loss to Tri-City at the LEC. One of the legends honored. There were two honored, Evander Kane and Gilbert Brulé. Gilbert Brulé, the first ever Vancouver Giant draft pick. He was with us in the banquet hall as we had a hot stove before the game on Legends Night 2. So I'm going to play a little chunk of that with Gilbert Brulé. It was packed in the banquet hall. Brulé was there. I've never met him before. What a nice guy. This guy, I saw him just before we went on the air. I met him. Terrific guy. Terrific during our roast of Bill Wilms and I, of Gilbert Brulé. And then when I was leaving the building, there was Brulé and family on the way out too, and he couldn't be nicer on the way out. Gilbert couldn't be nicer, Brulé. That's what they should just call the guy. So Brulé coming up in a couple minutes as well. Just before we really sink our teeth into the meat that is White Spot. That's not bad, actually. The meat that is White Spot's legendary restaurant. Get the legendary burger, by the way. Some people will get the legendary platter, and then here's the tip of the night. They get the legendary platter, and then they put lettuce and tomato. It comes free if you want it, lettuce and tomato. But to me, that mucks up the original burger. It just changes it to a non-original burger. Get the original burger, the triple O sauce. You get the coleslaw and the fries going, endless fries. Check it out, man. I'm getting hungry now. Maybe on the way home tonight, I might not make it home. Head off to White Spot on Broadway in beautiful downtown Vancouver. Anyway, as we get going to sink our teeth into the hamburger of life, the White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week program, special hello, you heard him off the top, but I must honor him. He is my bouncer. He's the man. He's a myth. He's a legend. He's Jack the Giant.
Ho, ho, ho.
And a big ho, ho, ho to you as always, Jack. Thank you for being here. Very loyal. And a special hello as well to our studio audience. And a special hello as well to our studio audience taking in the show live tonight. Going wild. They're going wild. The fine, well-dressed studio audience here. Jacket and tie. It's like dinner attire here at the Sportsnet studios. Speaking of White Spot again, too. White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week again. Hear from the coach in a couple of minutes. And also Gilbert Brulé in our first segment. It was a 500 week for the Vancouver Giants. 1-1-1 on the week. You know, of course, they wanted more. In the game on Saturday night, the overtime loss to Tri-City. The Giants were up 3-2 in the final minute. Lost a faceoff with the goaltender pulled. Never got the puck back. It went in the net. It was a 3-all tie. Then you got to overtime. And frankly, whoever wins the opening faceoff and gets possession in overtime, I always find that a great advantage because that faceoff winning team is going to get the puck at least as many times as the opposition, if they should score, but has the chance to have more possessions than the opposition as well, that one extra possession. The Americans won the opening draw in overtime and did not relinquish the puck. Giants, I don't think they even touched it. And Tri-City won it 4-3. Come from behind in the final minute, won it early in overtime. That was the Saturday game for the Giants, but they got a point out of it. Started in the week, it was 6-3, the Giants over Lethbridge. And that was a 3-0 Giant hockey game 5 minutes in. Toretto Morelli, want to give him a little love. He scored his first career Western Hockey League goal in that one. And the crowd went nuts. Morelli's teammates went nuts. The healthy scratches sitting right below us in the broadcast area, they went nuts, the bench went nuts, and Morelli went nuts for his first Western Hockey League goal. Going to talk to Nathan about the Morelli factor with the Giants moving forward. Boy, they love him. 6-3 Vancouver over Lethbridge. Friday night in Penticton, Giants dropped a 4-2 decision to the V's. Haven't beat them this year. Down 3-0, 10 minutes in, could not come all the ways back. And then the Tri-City 4-3 victory over the Vancouver Giants that was on a Saturday at the Langley Legends Night at the Langley Event Center. Giants were outshot in that hockey game and outplayed much of the first 40 minutes, I would say. Seemed to be, from a possession standpoint anyway, Tri always had the puck on their stick. Really good third period for Vancouver. Again, couldn't hang on to the lead. The head coach, Parker Burgess, in the banquet hall, post-game, with Justin Morissette and Bill Wilmes, and yeah, obviously he was looking for more from the hockey game.
We're frustrated with the results, the end results. You know, the game was in our grasp, and you have an opportunity to win a D-zone face-off and execute, and we all know hockey's a game of inches, and, you know, at the end of the day, we weren't able to get the job done and missed an assignment, let a puck through, and unfortunately didn't get that extra point, but, you know, going down 2-1 and then fighting back and tying it up and taking the lead put ourselves in a good spot, but we got to be able to finish. You know, that extra point's a big one, and it's back to work on Monday.
How gassed were the guys?
Yeah, I mean, they were tired, but so was Tri-City.
Yeah, like, both of them.
You know, you're playing your seventh, eighth, and ninth period in 4 days, and with a little bit of the weather yesterday, we ended up getting in at like 4:15 in the morning, so it's a little bit of a different day of sleeping and things like that. You saw it a little bit, you know, early in the third. Late in the second, we started to labor a little bit, but we continued to fight, and like I said, we put ourselves in a spot to win the hockey game. We just weren't able to push it across the finish line. The overtimes are tough because you know, in a three-on-three, it's you lose a face-off in one shot, so it's tough to look at it from the perspective of, hey, we got a point, we fought hard to get a well-deserved point, but that extra point by not finishing off the job, obviously it makes it feel... you know, it's a loss and it's a lot more disappointing. So
it did seem like you guys were able to kind of take it to a next gear in the midpoint of that third period to take the lead.
I think the game kind of, if you look at it, it kind of went in ebbs and flows. I thought the first period, both teams were kind of feeling each other out. They both looked a little, you know, maybe not as energetic or didn't have as much in the tank. And then I thought up until we gave up that first goal, you know, I thought we really controlled the play, especially in the offensive zone early in the second period. And, you know, those are opportunities too, where if you can get a second and make the game 2-0, maybe it's a different outcome. But they scored, and then I thought it energized them, and it gave them a lot of momentum. And then I thought, you know, for the last 7-8 minutes, they put the pressure on us. And then third period, I thought the first 10 minutes was kind of just back and forth. Nobody really controlled the play. They got the one we weren't able to get out of our zone, and they smacked one home in the crease. But then that kind of re-energized our group, and we were able to find, you know, I thought the last 10 or 11 minutes we really pushed. But, you know, we have an opportunity there at the end to close the game out, and you got to be able to do those things.
I know nobody's probably going to be more bitterly disappointed after this one than Burke Hood likely is, but with the shot volume that he faced tonight and the outings that he's had of late, is this still a positive step forward for where his game has been at?
Yeah, I mean, we all know Burke's a terrific goalie. The way Tri-City plays, a lot of pucks go to the net. A lot of pucks from the corner go to the net. They throw a lot of pucks out there. So I think there was a heavy workload. I didn't think there was a ton of high danger chances, but it was, you know, probably a physically taxing game just because of the, you know, that's their game plan. It's get it low to high, funnel it to the net, win a race, chuck it in front. And so it puts some strain on him. But I thought he did a good job, and he made some big saves for us tonight.
I thought it was a terrific comeback by him. And not surprised, to your point, this kid's a good goaltender.
Yeah, and he's a competitor. He wants to win. He cares about his teammates. And, you know, I think he would be honest in saying, like, he's still got another level to get to. And, you know, in my experience in these situations, a kid gets drafted, and, you know, the expectations from himself are elevated, from everybody else are elevated, but he's, you know, he's still just in his second year here in the Western Hockey League, so he's finding his way as a starting goalie, and he works hard every day in practice, and I think we all believe he can get to another level, and he's going to find it here soon.
Parker Burgess post-game with Bill Wilmes, Justin Morissette in the banquet hall after the Saturday night 4-3 OT loss on home ice to Tri-City. And Hood had looked so good in that hockey game, too. You know that one's because he's looking for a game from the way I see it. Like, I need a game. I'm looking for a game to get me to that next level and get myself roaring again. And he was having a terrific hockey game. But the late goal, a couple of, as Parker talked about there, you miss an assignment, and basically you lose a couple face-off draws, one in overtime and one in the final minute. And moments later, the puck was a couple times behind Burke Hood, and Bob's your uncle, Edith is your aunt, and it was a 4-3 hockey game. But Hood played very well in the game. Hopefully a sign of things to come. Saturday night was Legends Night at the LEC. In the banquet hall, before the hockey game started, Bill Wilms was there, I was there, and the original Vancouver Giants draft pick in the Bantam draft in 2002, his name, Gilbert Brulé, he joined us in the banquet hall. Here's a little taste about a little taste of what happened in the banquet hall with one of the best Vancouver Giants ever.
Super honored to be here, and you know, the Giants continue to just show how awesome this organization is and how well they treat their players. You know, even 20 years later down the road, you know, it's amazing to come back to this environment. It's such a tight-knit family and such a tight-knit group. I really, really enjoy. I really enjoyed my time as a Giant, and I still enjoy.
You look, obviously, you're in great shape. You look like you could still play. Are you officially done? It's been 5 years, but other guys have come back. You're not yet 40. Are you done?
I wanted to arm wrestle him, and he said no.
Yeah, I'm not actually playing hockey so much anymore, but I am coaching. I do a lot of coaching on the Sunshine Coast where I currently live. I've been there for the last 10 years. After I finished my career in the KHL in Russia, I played 7 years overseas there. So I'm just giving back now, and it's really awesome to give back to the kids, see them develop. Very rewarding to give back to the community. I love hockey, and just to see the kids, they're in pure enjoyment and love for the game. It's brought a fire back in me for hockey. I just keep loving this game, and it just keeps giving back, and I want to keep giving back to the game myself.
You were the first ever Vancouver draft pick, right?
Yeah.
If I got that right. Yeah. You played your first season. You didn't play with the Giants when you're eligible to. I think you played at Quesnel. What was the reason for the 1 year going up to the BCHL?
Yeah, so I was 15 years old when I was drafted in the Bantam draft of the Vancouver Giants, and I think I was a bit too... I was too advanced for minor hockey still, so I basically wanted to go to junior, try something. I actually tried to go to the Langley Hornets at the time. I think Rick Lands was the coach. They said I was too young. They didn't want to sign me. So Quesnel took a chance on me. They're kind of more of a bottom of the league team. Took a chance on me. I ended up going up there scoring, I think it was around 34, 35 goals. I had 57 points as a 15, turning 16-year-old. Won BCHL Rookie of the Year there. Never looked back. And that was such a great stepping stone for me to come into junior to the Giants, because I had already played a year of junior with 20-year-olds, guys, you know, that were bigger, stronger, faster, so it really helped my game.
So you come to the Giants in 03-04. That's your first season. You play the 67 games, 16-year-old, you're, 60 points. Do you remember your first goal?
You know what, I don't remember my first goal of my actual season, but I do remember my first goal as a 15, I think I was 16 at that time. The Giants had called me up to the playoffs, and they're playing the Kelowna Rockets, who ended up winning the Memorial Cup, I think, that year with Shea Weber and Duncan Keith, and they put me in a game, and I scored a goal that game. So that was my first goal as a Giant. I remember that for sure, because playing at such a good team in Kelowna with the guys they had, four or five of those guys went on to be NHL stars. So it was a huge thing for me. I felt amazing. We didn't end up winning the game, but just to score was really cool for an underage player.
You were drafted by Columbus and joined the Blues Jackets in the NHL. Do you feel you were rushed? The coach in you now.
Yeah.
Do you feel you were rushed?
Yeah, I've been asked this question so many times, and I think I was probably a little bit rushed. I think if you look back at Austin Matthews, he went to play a year in the Swiss League in Zurich before he went to the Leafs, and that was a huge, huge thing for him to develop his game, right? Because he's too good for he was too good for juniors at that point. He had to step his game up to another league and be challenged, and I think that would have been great for me instead of going right to the NHL, because I did suffer a couple injuries. I got hit by Roman Hamrlik from the Flames, and he was about 240 pounds. He's 6'3" or something, and I think I was 180 pounds when he hit me, and he broke my sternum. So he hit me so hard against the boards that my sternum just snapped, you know. So that year of, you know, physical development would have been a huge, you know, huge step in the right direction.
I can still picture the hit, by the way, because I remember it.
Yeah, I remember it too.
Do you? Yeah, I may still feel it as well. Once you got healthy, the Blue Jackets sent you back to Vancouver, is that right?
That's correct,
then
yes.
What happened? Because you were on fire.
Yeah, I came back to the Giants, and I want to say I played like around 28 to 30 games when I came back, because I came back more than halfway through the season. So I came back, and that is still one of my greatest accomplishments for me personally in junior, is that I only played 28 games and I still made the second team All-Star, which was pretty cool. Hard to do in 30 games when guys are playing 80 game season, you know. So
you remember Memorial Cup wise, what runs through your mind?
Yeah, so You know, being the first and only Vancouver Giant team to win the Western Hockey League was really special. I'm still so proud of that run we went on. We played 18 games in the playoffs, and we won 16. So we lost two games in four rounds. It was incredible how we rolled over teams. You know, we had Milan Lucic on our team and Cody Franson and Mark Fistrick. I think Jonathan Blum was there, too, at that point. We had, you know, so many good hockey players on our team. Great goaltending as well. Dustin Slade, I remember, was in net. Just to go to the Memorial Cup, this is how good the Memorial Cup is. Like, we were a very, very good hockey team, and we still lost in the semifinals there. That's how close and tight the hockey is at that level. And looking back, just to see how competitive it was, it was so fun to be a part of that environment, just to be at that level and competing against other teams that are at that level as well.
Joe Barrett, you led the entire Memorial Cup in scoring that year too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Is that the special memory that you take from that?
Yeah, you know, obviously I wanted to win the Memorial Cup. That would have been the pinnacle. And the hardest thing I still remember after that game when we lost, you know, it's very emotional in the dressing room because we lost to, you know, this is our last game of junior that year. For some of the guys, it's their last junior game ever if they're 20 years old. And so to see the sad faces and in the room after you lose like that, it's really heartbreaking. And I still feel that loss to this day. But it's, like you said, you know, being the top scorer, I was first team All-Star. Obviously, the hockey world was watching at that tournament, so I got a lot of eyes on me, and I think that definitely helped my draft.
Last thing for you, Gilbert. Tell us about the Brûlé Hockey Academy.
Yeah, so I run my own hockey academy on the Sunshine Coast now with my business partner. It's called Brûlé Hockey Academy. Obviously just trying to help kids grow their game in hockey, and it's been going well so far, and we're trying to expand all the time. So hopefully we're going to be coming to the city sometime soon.
Gilbert Brûlé, what a great guy. Legends Night, our guest at the banquet hall, Bill Wilms and myself, on Saturday night. Great to see Gilbert there. Bill Wilms coming up later on in the program. Nathan Cantor next. Thank you for being with us tonight. I'm Brooke Ward. This is White Spot, Vancouver Giants This Week. This is Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford
and Jason Brough.
Join us for Halford and Brough in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
It's a stretch pass down the left wing. Here's Morelli in. He scores! First career Western Hockey League goal for Toretto Morelli, top shelf on the short side, and it's an insurance marker, 6-3 Vancouver.
Toretto Morelli, ho, 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 you bet. Brooke Ward with you, White Spot Vancouver Giants Hockey. The team loved that goal on Wednesday night, first ever in the dub. Team more excited than the guy who called that goal for you. His name's Nathan Cantor. Hi, Nathan, how you doing, pal?
Good, good, good. Hard not to get excited. You see this guy, you know, took him, you know, more than a season, finally gets his first, and just such a popular teammate, such a good guy off the ice, and like a funny guy too, right? Like he's just one of those energy guys off the ice, right? Like we see the energy he brings on the ice, but he's just a funny guy off the ice and always, you know, gets the boys, gets them ready, gives them a laugh. One of the funniest guys on the team. And, it was a really nice goal too. Like, I think that was, it kind of guaranteed the win for the Giants, which was nice, and, did it in style. And, we saw when the goal happened, the guys not playing, the scratches, They were on their feet for a while, but you could see the bench exploded. It was really, really nice to see.
Interesting, because I noticed the scratches that are just down below you and down below me in the press box, and they're on their feet cheering, and I'm trying to figure that out originally, because I didn't realize. I thought he had one last year, Morelli, but just in my head anyway, and then I thought, well, this must be something special, and then watching the reaction. He is well-liked, right? He's good in the room, as they say.
Yeah, no, for sure, he is, and the team had the jamboree the other day. And that's where Timbits runs, you know, the all-day Timbits hockey. And he was one of the first guys here right after a game. It's early morning. But even in that scenario, right, like he's talking to the kids. He's, you know, at their fist pumping and getting them energized, too. Like he's someone where the energy from him rubs off on others and is just, always, always, always happy and always energized. And you need those kind of guys in the room.
The Tim Hortons Jamboree was on Sunday following the Saturday night game, which followed the Friday night game, which followed the Wednesday night game. that's a lot of stuff these guys get involved with. How funny, you say he's funny. Example? Is he like one-liners or example? Or is he hot-footing guys? How funny in what way?
No, yeah, not one-liner so much. He's like a jokester. He's a character, like in and of itself. He's just, I think, you know, one of those guys where what stuff comes out of his mouth and just like, you know, he might not think about it. It just comes out.
Yeah. he's a funny guy. He's charmingly funny. And I wanted to give him some love here too. I got a chance to talk to him a little bit last year, and what a nice kid. That first one again, the bench erupted when the scratches get to their feet and erupt. You know it's something, Nathan. So the week that was for your Giants, 1-1 in 1 week. Go ahead, go. I got 20 minutes. Go.
I'll try and be a little more concise than perhaps I usually am. I think it was a disappointing week. I think it started so well, and just. Like, they beat Lethbridge in play, arguably their best game of the season. It was a great game to be at on Wednesday, out to a 3-0 lead early. They just looked so, apologies to use a word that has been overused, but they looked so connected. They were flying. They were making crisp passes. They were on their toes the whole game. Then you go into Penticton on Friday. You get behind early, which has been a problem. The Giants are chasing too many games this season, and you play pretty well for the rest of the game, but you dug a hole that was too deep. And then the question is, can you bounce back on Saturday? And they were in a position to win. They were up 3-2 late, and you let the other team tie it, and then you don't get the extra point. So the term that I think the coaching staff has used has been frustrated. And certainly I think that's been not just this week. I think that's been kind of built up a little bit over time here where, you know, a lot of good things are happening, but it's not enough, right? It's not enough when you're not getting the results. And I really do think there are a lot of, whether it's individual performances, whether it's stretches of really strong play here and there, and just whatever, it's not getting the bounces or other teams maybe just push a little harder at the right time and get a big goal where the Giants can't. It's really, I agree, frustrating where the team is at 20 points. And right now, the Western Conference we've talked about is so tight, so it's still very much within reach to not only make the playoffs, but I think to even move up in the standings. When you look at it, the Giants are still 6 points out of fourth place. You can get 6 points if you have one good week. It's not that crazy, but soon other teams are going to pick up points. So if this keeps happening, you're going to look at a point in the standings where you're going to have to decide, what are we doing here? Are we right? You're either in or you're out.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right? It's like it's approaching that time of the year where you got to make that call.
It's funny because the trade deadline, those type of things, right? That's not far away in the dub, right? I mean, is it January or whatever?
January 10th. Yeah. So it's a little bit away, but we're at the point here where when you're in December, that deadline is not far away, and we're almost in December.
Yeah.
So
you've got to, you know, fish or cut bait, basically. Once you get certainly at the end of December and make your decision, do you think you can in? Is that all you want, just to get in, have a couple of home games or whatever? So that's a good thing why they're smarter than we are. By the way, why do the Giants have so much trouble with Penticton, this expansive franchise, this veteran expansive franchise, I shall say?
I'm glad you said that, veteran, because honestly, I know they are an expansion franchise. 100%, yes, that is a fact. I get it. But I don't, when we say that term expansion franchise, I think we assume struggles and, you know, maybe young and like, you know, that's not only is that not what they are in terms of age, but they have a lot of guys with Western League experience. Like if you look at that roster, not most of the team, but they have some guys like Brady Burney, 20-year-old. He's played over 250 games in this league. Like he's a player. He's an impact guy who played in Swift Current, and he had a goal on Friday, and he's one of a number of other players who have played at this level, right? It's not the BCHL Penticton Bees. This is a very different looking team. Yes, their head coach and GM is Fred Harbinson, and he brought along some of his guys, but they have an outstanding goaltender. They have, as you said, an older team that I think early on knows, like, since right away, they've pretty much been very good at playing to their identity. That is why not only are they giving the Giants trouble, that is why the V's, Brooke, they're in third place in the West.
Yeah.
Like, they're a good team. They're a really good team. And the Giants, to be fair, yes, they're 0-3 against Penticton. They have 1 point. They have a shootout point. They're 0-2-1. But I throw away the first game. The home opener, Giants didn't have their goalie. Didn't even have their backup goalie. Didn't have Cameron Schmidt. It's the first game of the season. And Penticton, I think, had their full team. We can throw that one away. But, yes, the game that the Giants had recently in Penticton, and, yes, they're going back there on Friday. They really are. And they need a big win. They need a win. But the games have been close against Penticton. It's just they are a good team, and they found a way to get to third place in the West. Like, they're right there. They're a good hockey club.
Do our Vancouver to get results against Penticton then. Wednesday at Wenatchee, Friday at Penticton, and then home to host Saturday Everett on what, R2K night?
Y2K. Y2K night.
R2K. Yeah. Y2K night, which is just turn back the
clocks a little bit.
The electronic clock, would you say, or with the...
Yeah. It's you know, early 2000s, like the stuff there that I remember well. A lot of our players won't, but
electronics,
you know,
and things of that nature. So yeah, going to tie into the evening somehow with the hockey fan.
Yeah, we were shooting some content the other day at the Jamboree. You know, Walkmans, and I just thought of another one that I don't know if we had it in the video, but like, you know, an original iPod maybe. Some people won't know what that stuff is.
Far back do you want to go?
Well, we can keep going.
VHS tape.
Yeah. You know, that's some good
cassette
stuff.
Cassette tapes for 8 tracks. Oh, an 8-track. You're going way back to the 70s for that one. They wouldn't even know. Their parents might not even know.
My first thing was the Walkman. Like, the Walkman was the thing as a kid that was so awesome that you could take a CD. Now people are like, what is a CD? Take a CD, pop that thing in, and just be mobile. Like, the fact that you could walk around with this thing was so cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even, like, cell phones didn't become the rage until, was it the mid to late 90s? So
yeah,
that's when
the flip phone
first came in. I remember at work when someone said, hey, I'm pretty sure it was late. I mean, there was the cell phones, the bigger ones you could carry around. Looked like a big, huge army walkie-talkie.
The funny one.
And then they got smaller. But for most people carrying them around day to day, the cell phone didn't come in until late 90s, right around the time the internet came in.
You know, I think my first cell phone was 2008. I want to say 8, like late. Like, obviously now kids grow up, and I don't know when they're handed a cell phone, but I think I got mine
early.
When I was 14.
Yeah. Well, I remember, again, mid-90s, I'm that old, that someone in the sales department at work had said, we're going to try this cell phone thing with one of our sales people to see if it is effective using a cell phone for business, being able to be in contact with the clients, even if you're in your car. That was like, oh, okay, well, let's see if that's like. So that was the 90s. That was mid to late 90s. And then you could take these guys again, if you're and what Nathan is saying is they're also talking to the players of what do you think this is? And, you know, here's an 8-track or something like that. Or here's your a flip phone or whatever.
They have no idea. Yeah.
Like, find a corded telephone. A corded telephone used to be in the wall. And if you couldn't walk away from it, you had to, you know, even if it was a desktop, it just had a small 3-foot cord on it. So you were, when the phone rang, you had to go over. It's like changing the television channel. You had to get up and go to it.
Yeah, nice. I know.
Look at all the things you're learning today. I know. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be Saturday night.
That's
as well.
Saturday. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm
and
with,
it's to Everett.
Not to cut you off. And hey, here comes Everett again. Sheesh, man. Another good hockey club coming in here. But in general, with the Giants, the coach has also talked
I think it was Galen after your game in Penticton about consistency is an issue. I can't remember the exact quote, but it was along those lines. The Achilles heel of the group is consistency. In other words, we're not consistent.
Yeah. It's hard to be consistent. It really is. And usually the teams that are the most are the better teams, the best teams in the league. It just seems, I wouldn't say that the lulls for the Giants, like when they're not at their best, when they're inconsistent, when their play dips a little, I wouldn't say that it happens for a long time. I would say that whenever that tends to happen, things go very bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like, yeah.
Well, they're a pretty young group, right, aren't they? So, I mean, I can see you losing your way for 10 minutes or something at the hockey game. Like, I know you're not supposed to. Offensively, I love the fact that they skate it across the blue line or pass it across, and they rarely dump it in unless it's a line change. They don't dump and chase.
They don't. Yeah, they're a lot of fun to watch. Now, I will say sometimes, not to take away from their creativity, sometimes they're looking for the perfect play. And I'd love to see them. They're kind of a quick strike offense. I like Bill uses that term a lot, which is very, very true. And I think they're trying to build their cycle game and be more, working down low as opposed to just quick strike, because you're going to need to score in different ways. But yeah, hey, if you've been at the LEC this season, if you've seen this iteration of the Giants team, especially when they're on, and they're usually on at home, they have scored some of the prettiest goals this season. Like, they have a ton of talent. They are a lot of fun to watch offensively. Like, they don't really score a lot of mucky goals, which they could use a little more of. But, fun to watch.
I hear you. I think take them a black and white television with no remote control for R2K night or Y2K night on Saturday.
Yeah.
And a player, what is this? Okay, turn it on. I don't know how to turn it on. It can be a color TV, even a small little 10-inch, 20-inch one, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, where are we going to find a black and white TV? Come on.
I got one here on my wall. I'll bring it to you. But otherwise, okay, here it is. Try and turn it on. That could be a hook, actually, for you, actually, with whatever you're giving them. The old stuff, not just what is it, turn it on and see if these guys could turn on, you know, the telephone, the flip phone from the 90s.
How does this work?
How do you turn this? Change the channel. I don't know. TV, change to channel 20. That doesn't work on the old TVs. You can't just tell the TV what to do. Anyway, thanks, buddy. After all that, thanks for playing. I appreciate it, man. Bill's coming up next. I'll say hi for you.
Yeah, please do.
Thanks for your help with Legends Night the other night, by the way. Thanks for your help with that. That was fun with Evander Kane and Gilbert Brulé.
Yeah. Just quickly, that was a lot of fun. And that was really cool to see them back, even as someone who, you know, this is only my third year with the team, but it's still very, very cool. The Giants will be without Lynn just for the Wednesday game. He's playing at the CHL Top Prospects game. So just for fans, they should watch Tuesday night, Wednesday night, the Top Prospects game in Calgary and in Lethbridge, and that game, of course, watching Lynn on a big stage in front of all the scouts, encouraged fans to tune in. That game will be on TSN, so that's really cool to see.
Awesome.
Ryan Lynn,
thank you, pal. You take care, Nathan. I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brooke.
Bill Wilms next. This is White Spud, Vancouver Giants This Week, the Monday night edition on Sportsnet 650.
Hello, everybody. It's your old friend Danny Gallivan, and you're listening to a scintillating, rapier-like Brooke Ward.
Brooke Ward with you back here on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. Bill Wilms riding shot, keeping it in the fairway, Bill. That's all my goal in life. Whatever if I'm driving my car, if I'm in an aisle at the shopping center, doesn't matter where, I just want to keep it in the fairway, man.
Yeah, and you got to, because you know, when you drive on some highways, you got ditches on both sides. You can't go left, you can't go right. You got to keep it straight.
The Giants, my friend, keeping it in the fairway. They're kind of hanging in there, or what's your assessment on them?
Well, yeah, they are hanging in, but only for one reason: that everybody else isn't running away. You know, their record of late obviously is not that impressive, and they'd like to change that. You know, they're on the right direction. We've said that a number of times, but, you know, other than Everett and at 39 points, Prince George at 32. You go between Penticton at 27, who are third, and Vancouver at 20 points, who are 11th. I mean, you go from Penticton at 26 to Vancouver at 20. I mean, those 6 points, that's doable. You know, that's doable. And if you look at Vancouver at 11th and Spokane at 6, that's only 4 points. It's that close. And that's why it's still achievable. But I'll tell you, I'm pretty certain that general managers and coaches and assistant GMs and everybody else in that business is really scratching their head looking at those standings and how close they are, because you're trying to still decide what you're going to do.
You know,
what is your strategy in moving forward, right?
Yeah, I know. I was chatting with Nathan with that earlier, too. I was just going to mention their record, and I'm unofficial here trying to scan through the WHL scoreboard site, which has changed, and I don't like it, Bill. It's harder to view, but I have them 2-6-1 in November. And if you're going to trend like that, then you're sellers at the deadline, I would imagine.
If you trend that way for any length of time, yeah. There's always enough positives. If you're talking about the Giants, there are enough positives to, you know, to keep you quite excited about what their ceiling might be. They've had games where, you know, they dictate from start to finish, and then, you know, they have some games where they're chasing the game a little bit, you know. But again, the window for really making a run at it is small. I think you and I talked about this before. You can't plan. It's hard to even plan for next year because you don't know, you know, the changing landscape of players, you know, with decisions that are made, you know, about schooling and about all of, you know, all the other things that might come into play. So I, you know, it's not like you can build 2 or 3 years down the road, which teams, you know, were able to do. And yet, having said that, I've been always surprised at how a team like Seattle can go to the WHL final 1 year and the next year, you know, win it all. In other words, they had a two year window. Oh, you kind of think you do it once, you can't do it again. For a while, you got to rebuild. And I've seen enough, you know, with Everett, for example. I mean, they've been good for 2, 3, 4 years in a row. Very good. You never see them at the bottom of the standings or even near the middle. So you can do it more than 1 year, but boy, I'll tell you, you got to get your finger dirty. Digging for players, you know, and digging for, you know what you need. And I'm not saying that that's the answer totally.
Right.
I mean, you've got your squad. You've done well. Vancouver Giants have drafted exceptionally well. Their draft picks and the Bantam drafts have been outstanding. I mean, I think Barclay Barnett has done a really good job with the scouting staff, with Terry Bonner and the guys identifying, you know, every time you look at a Bantam draft book, those kids, you're looking at guys with already high floors. And the projection now is how high will that ceiling be? So you're always looking at the top players in Bantam, and that's their starting point. That's, as I say, that's the floor. And so now you project, you know, what can happen. I mean, you know, the first overall Bantam pick in this coming draft is a kid out of Yale Hockey Academy, Parker McMillan. I mean, he could really be something. Now, I don't know who's going to get him. I don't know who's going to hold the first overall pick, but they've drafted very, very well, but you got to augment, you know, or maybe you don't. That's why I say those are the decisions that have to be made.
Very interesting, because of the fact that the NHL a couple of years from now are looking at the option of allowing one 19-year-old draft pick to play in the AHL. Then you've got the NCAA kicking in, et cetera, and other options for players, as previously discussed, Bill. I start to think, well, is this going to be a really young league? Is this going to be a 16 to 18-year-old league? Yet, I would assume, no, you still need 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds, experienced guys, to fill out your roster. They just might not be the elite of the elite. So something is going to give here, I would assume. It'll still be competitive, Bill, obviously. But I'm like, yeah, you're going to lose some high-end prospects, it would appear.
And they are so valuable. Yeah. And just even 19 and 20 year olds. Look, it's a good little segue, you know, to Friday's game in Penticton. the Giants gave up three goals in the first 10 minutes. They gave, you know, two goals in the first two shots. Okay. Now the good news was there was 50 minutes left. And period two, when you're down 3-0, period two was a must that the Giants cut into that Penticton 3-0 lead. They had to cut into it somehow and shorten it if they could. To your point, the Bees have 14, 19, and 20-year-old players. And these are the experienced guys. Sometimes they're second-tier guys, and not to disparage anybody.
No, I hear you, yeah.
But they're good players, but they're not the elite. And that's why Penticton as a whole, they put out these, call them second-tier, for lack of a better word, 19 and 20-year-olds, and they just took the game away, period number two, from the Vancouver Giants. You know, they played a very poised, polished. They didn't need to score a lot of goals, but they just took the game right away. I mean, yes, you know, Penticton actually extended that to 4-0, and Giants got two goals, but, you know, it was just not enough. Never enough to suggest the backup to Hurst, the body was still warm. But I could tell you this, that those 19-year-olds, for my part, apart from the fact that they got a couple, you know, goals that maybe shouldn't have gone in, it was the 19 and 20-year-olds that really won the game for them. And that's to your point. The older guys is so important. But, you know, elite, it's tough to keep some of your players. Yeah. So that window's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you still need your quality 19 and 20-year-olds. But like Vancouver, for example, 2 years from now, you could have, okay, Dallas may say, let's put Cameron Schmidt in the minors. And the Islanders could say, you know, Burkhood, let's get him in our AHL team. And whoever drafts Ryan Lind might say, hey, you know, let's put him down on the minor league team. And you're going, wait, that's our three best guys.
Like, that's how quickly it can, I don't want to say come apart.
Yeah.
But that's how quickly it can happen.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to ask you about goaltending, because it's Burkhood in the second half last year was lights out. He has not looked great in the first half since coming back from the Islander camp. And I want to start with this, Bill, to roll on this post game with yourself and Justin Morissette talking to Parker Burgess, the head coach. Here's what Burgess had to say about Hood, and then I'll get your reaction to it.
In my experience in these situations, a kid gets drafted. You know, the expectations from himself are elevated, from everybody else are elevated. But he's, you know, he's still just in his second year here in the Western Hockey League, so he's finding his way as a starting goalie. And I think we all believe he can get to another level, and he's going to find it here soon.
Parker Burgess talking about Burkhood, and I thought he played very well in the game on Saturday night, Bill. Unfortunately, on the wrong end, and a lot of shots on goal, too. It was 43 shots, something like that, anyway, at the hands of Tri-City in the OT loss. But what are your thoughts on Hood and what Parker has to say about a guy who is indeed just in his second year?
Yeah. You know, Burkhood has got terrific fundamentals. Now, I'm obviously not any kind of a goalie expert, but when you watch him move around the crease, position himself, he tracks the puck exceptionally well, okay, and he really controls rebounds exceptionally well, and he knows when to get play stoppages that help your team, not just saves. And he pushes off exceptionally well, as I say, from side to side, and he hardly ever is out of position in such a way that you see a wraparound goal on him. I can't recall that. Now, having said that, having the skills, you don't lose them. I don't think you ever lose them, actually, in any position. I'll probably maybe not in any sport. Once you've achieved a skill level, it's all about confidence. And, you know, I've said this before. I think, when a goaltender more than even a regular player, because when he has a confidence crisis, the puck's in the net, you're facing off at center, where a defenseman can go a couple games and get back in, or a forward can, have a, 10 game goalless streak. But a goaltender doesn't have that luxury. So having said that, I think Parker Burgess is absolutely right. He will get it back. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's not if, it's when, but, he took the number one spot last year. I mean, he worked hard to get it, and he became the clear cut number one player. And he was only one of two goalies in the Western Hockey League drafted last year, Ravensburg, and then Prince George was the other one. So he'll be back, but I do believe that it's going to take just a little bit. It's going to take a couple games, and then I think he'll settle in. You know, it's a bit of a shock to your system too, I think, when you're, you know, when you pick up a goaltender like Kelton Pyne, and he plays so exceptionally well, and all credit to him, and I'm sure the two are becoming very good friends. But, you know, it's just like hosting a show of sorts and then having somebody, you know, take over because you're sick and or missing or whatever the case might be, and all of a sudden he's getting better ratings than you. It's a bit of a shock. You got to fight back, and I don't think there's any question that he will. Like I say, it's just a matter of being patient, be patient with him because, he's going to get his mojo back. I mean, he looked so many times at his best last year, Brooke. You and I talked about it many times. I mean, he just took away net. It was just constantly, players around the crease never saw much twine. He was always there. There was always his body there. He moved so effortlessly across the crease. I mean, I'd like to, you know, Paul Fricker's a perfect guy to be working with him to get that confidence back. But again, I'm no goalie expert by any stretch, but I'm guessing, and I think I'm on the right track here. I'm guessing that if you're deep and down, that's a deadly combination. If you're deep in the net and down, and I sometimes think the challenge is more important, and Burkhood is so good and can be so good and has been so good at challenging, knowing everything that's happening and how to take away so much of the net so that you come away from situations like Tittleback said, it's hard. You know, it's hard to score. There's just no net.
On Saturday night, it was Legends Night, and you and I had a chance in the banquet hall to sit down with one of the nicest guys ever, man, Gilbert Brulé. What'd you think about that, Bill? And one of the coolest part sports fans, as soon as Brulé walked in, he beelined straight for Bill and said, "Hi, Bill, how you doing? Da-da-da-da-da." Boy, that was impressive.
It was humbling. Very, very humbling. Honest to goodness. I did not expect that. And, yeah, it was like, I mean, come on, that's what, 24 years? And he comes over like it was first day. No, I was incredibly impressed by that young man. And you know what? I've said this so many times, not just the WHL, but hockey often. It's not what you get out of it, especially the Western Hockey League. It's what you become. And it was unfortunate we didn't have Evander Kane. You know what I wanted to ask Kane if he came? My one really question that I wanted to know, when he played with Edmonton, I want to know what kind of captain outside or inside the dressing room more than anywhere is Connor McDavid.
Great question.
You know, what kind of a captain is he? I mean, never mind his skill. I don't want to hear about how good he is. We know that. But what's he like as a leader of that Edmonton team? I would have loved to ask him that. But, boy, that was great to see him come out with his kids at center ice for that faceoff, eh?
Yeah, it was supposed to be Evander Kane and Gilbert Brulé folks that were joining Bill and I, but Evander was stuck in traffic and had some issues in that department, so he didn't arrive in time to join us, but he was there with Gilbert Brulé and some guy named Michael Bublé, who keeps supporting this franchise.
Who?
Michael Bublé, center ice to help drop the pucks, too, speaking of legends. On Legends Night. So that was a lot of fun. Always a lot of fun. The fact that Sipe and Dale Sipe with the Giants, Ron Toigo's approval, obviously Pete as well. Maybe Michael, for all we know, allows you and me still to dig our teeth into Legends Night. Great, great honor to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I echo that completely.
Thanks, Bill. You're the man, the myth, and the legend. We'll see you. Enjoy the road trip. Wenatchee Wednesday, Friday, back in Penticton. Everett here on Saturday night. I'll see you there, my friend.
Good stuff. Thanks, Brooke.
The great Bill Wilms, the legendary Bill Wilms. By the way, check out his golf cart. It will give you discounts on golf, hence the name, discountgolfcart.ca. Check it out. Well worth it. discountgolfcart.ca. That'll do it as we tie a bow around the program tonight. Again, the Giants are on the road for a couple of games. Wednesday, they're at Wenatchee. Then on Friday, they will find themselves in Penticton. And then on Saturday, they're back in Langley to host Everett. I don't know who the travel agent is. Might be Stevie Wonder. Wenatchee Wednesday, then Penticton Friday, and then back to Vancouver. It's a tough go for these kids. And full credit to him. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Next home game, Everett, on Saturday night. Get your tickets, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Thanks to everyone, Bill Wilms, Nathan Cantor. Heard from Parker Burgess earlier today. Also earlier in the program, Gilbert Brulé was with us. So we thank all the gang for getting it done tonight. I'm Brooke Ward. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is Sportsnet 650.
Oh, oh, oh.